Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
You're listening to Achtung Norwalk, broadcasting from the beautiful South Berlin. Accept no substitute.
Welcome to an early den, listeners, here in the pre-match. This is a round of applause for Bart Bielkowski, who has announced, of course, he'll be leaving the club at the end of the season. Huge round of applause around the den, but a great servant for the club. Player of the season twice over, 2021, 21-22, I believe. Correctly in those years, I'm gone to hand. He's taking your balls. Listen to that, listeners. Bart Bielkowski, dear listeners. Yeah, welcome to the Den. I'm in a little bit early this afternoon. This is a sellout. All tickets sold. Home fixture, of course, against Plymouth Argyle. Your Millwall side for this afternoon's fixture, listeners. Sarkis in goal, no Bart Bielkowski starting, he's on the bench this afternoon. I wonder whether we'll see him at some stage during this last home game of the season. Back line, Danny McNamara, Jake Cooper, Jeff Tanganga and Ryan Leonard. The midfield, sort of defensive midfield too, I suppose, Casper Denor and Jules Saville. In front of them, Ryan Longman, Zian Fleming, Duncan Watmore, and up front this afternoon is Tom Bradshaw. Lions come into today's game safe. Savour that word, listeners. Safety was achieved last week at Sunderland with that magnificent 1-0 win up there at the Stadium of Light. We sit in 17th position, thanks to a win last night for QPR over Leeds, who appeared to be going through crumble. There's a great meme doing the rounds of Tesco's apple crumble with Leeds written over the apple part. Leeds crumble. 4-0 win for Rangers. That puts them 16th. We're in 17th position. 53 points. So nothing really on the Millwall slate this afternoon. For Plymouth, our opponents this afternoon, though, everything is on the slate. 48 points, they are very much in the relegation mix, just two games of the season to go. Birmingham's currently sitting in the third relegation spot on 46 points. Above them, Sheffield Wednesday, 47, then Plymouth, and then above them, Blackburn, 49. So very, very tight bottom. They'll be looking for 3 points, almost certainly. I suppose it depends how much fighting spirit Lions are going to bring this afternoon. This is going to be one last hurrah, says Neil Harris, looking for a strong final home performance, says the news at Den. A season's been short on hurrahs, in truth, listeners. It's been a mixed old bag this season, veering at times from the dire to the sublime. In 1 week in particular, 7 days separate the dire from the sublime. That's 17th of February. Millwall nil, Sheffield Wednesday 2, the final act in the drama that was Joe Edwards. Very poor performance at home to relegation-threatened rivals. Lions, you know, throwing away a valuable chance to put clear blue water between us and them. And then just 7 days later, possibly the performance of the season, would you agree, listeners? With that magnificent away win at St Mary's, Southampton 1, Millwall 2, that was on the 24th. So 7 days and a new manager, of course, Neil Harris, returning to the fold after a long period away. Turning point of the season, I think, for the what was a campaign drifting below the waves, Titanic style, the appointment, reappointment of Neil Harris on the 22nd of Feb. He's had many, many critics, and he divides opinion out there on the line. Listeners, personally, I cannot argue with the turnaround in form and results. The fact that we're safe with, two games to go. This is a relaxed afternoon of holiday vibe football for me. Speaks volumes. I don't know who else could have done it, in all honesty, within the realms of reason. There's an extensive Neil Harris interview with the South London Press on their website. Do have a look. I think it must be in this week's edition of the South London Press. He said, I knew 50 points was the target that we set when I came back. So to get 17 points in 13 games with the fixtures we had and the way things were going, we thought that'd be a tough ask, but realistic as well. If we could get the Den form going, which is what he did. They got brought the Den into play, a magnificent weapon for any football manager. Little appreciated sometimes by some of those that have sat in the hot seat down below me in the West Upper. But Neil Harris certainly understands how to use it. Culminating, of course, last week with that 1-0 win up there at Sunderland, which I watched on stream. Magnificent photographs after the game of Neil Harris and the players in an on-field huddle. Beautiful, gritty shots. Some great, great photographs taken by the media team out there. He says to the South London Press, I wasn't Winston Churchill. I tend to save that for before the game. He was saying, more well done today and well done for the last 11 games. These are the moments in your career and the players' career define you as men and individual players. So let's take this moment to make sure we finish next week at the Den in style. That's today, listeners. So we'll wait to see what performance, what Millside shows up this afternoon. Two sides lining up in the tunnel on the big screen. It's a grey, very cool afternoon for the time of year. We're on the end of April, so no summertime in Bermondsey as yet, dear listeners. It's a very pleasant afternoon for football. And with nothing to play for the Lions other than pride and league table finish, I'm hoping we'll get an enjoyable game. I must admit, since the return of Neil Harris, I've enjoyed coming back to Millwall, and that's, for me, is the most valuable thing of all, because this is the end. 23-24 represents the end of my 51st year following Millwall. First game, as I've said a few times, 1972. So this is 51 seasons. And after all that time, you want to at least enjoy yourself, dear listeners. Here come the two teams. Plymouth in all white this afternoon. Millwall, of course, in dark blue and white. A couple of players out there with their youngsters. Looks like Ryan Leonard, almost certainly a shoo-in for player of the season, which will be done post-match. Out there with his two youngsters. Looks like Watmore out there, a young baby. A couple of young ones with Tom Bradshaw in front of Japhet Tanganga. Nice to see. Proper family club, as we say many, many times. Real celebratory atmosphere. There's a huge banner opposite me on the Docker stand, a huge Stars and Stripes. Thank you, John Berylson, JB, Mill Forever. Nice, really, really nice. I don't usually indulge in that bit, this is I'm normally recording, but I've done the team lose already, so I thought I'd have a go at the Den part of the song. Wonderful stuff. Wonderful, wonderful atmosphere in here. Just flicking through that Neil Harris interview. It's a really good interview on the South London Press. He's talking about coming back to do a job, number one job, of course, which he's achieved, saving us from relegation to the depths of League One, the morass where Charlton and Leyton Orient lie. So we're safe from that. Next job is going to be rebuilding over the course of the summertime for a better season ahead. So today's going to be a game of goodbyes. Obviously, we've already mentioned Bart Bielkowski. It seems highly certain that Sean Hutchinson will be leaving us. The lone players, Michael Obafemi, Japhet Tanganga, possibly Ryan Longman, although word on the street is that he's a strong shout for a signing, but we'll see on that front. So there's a few goodbyes out there today. It's going to be quite an emotional game in that way. Some really good service. It's been a funny old season, dear listeners, has it not? Ups and downs, turbulence. Game's underway. Floodlights on this dull, dull day in South Bermondsey. Flags are fluttering and a gentle breeze, cool grey skies above us. So yeah, a lot of question marks for the summertime. We'll see what changes are afoot over the months ahead. Steve Cavanagh writing a long article on the main website has already mentioned that the work has begun for the summertime, which must include the rebuilding of the playing squad. I understand there's about 2,000 Plymouth fans. I can't see them, listeners, until they fill the corners in of this ground with these regular sellouts now. all tickets sold affairs. But I won't be able to see the away fans. It don't bother me. I don't want to see them. But apparently there's 2,000 of them. They wanted the lower tier, but the club refused it. John Berylson. Mentioned actually quite nicely by Steve Cavanagh in his piece on the website. It's been a tough season, obviously beginning with that awful news last summertime of the passing of John in America. And thankfully, after a few dramatic twists and turns, safety was achieved. With room to spare, as it turned out. Well, no one would have expected that, but there we are. Tom Bradshaw pushes the ball out right. This is Ryan Longman on the right side of the Plymouth penalty area. He gets a nice cross in. Oh, it's curled inwards and hit the crossbar. I think it's gone for a goal kick. No corner. Linesman generously says the goalkeeper touched it. I thought it hit the crossbar. Just comes towards 5 minutes. It was an awkward little cross. It actually went onto the crossbar from the right side. Curled inwards over the head of the goalkeeper nearly, but he got a tip to it apparently. With Ryan Longman on the right side, another cross into the box. Is Tom Bradshaw at the near side of the 6 yard box. He's running out of a corner. And he's trying to take and turn, couldn't quite get the space there. It's gone rightwards. Corner. In it comes. It's a near post ball. It's headed clear, unfortunately. Casper Denor. I suppose question marks over Casper, really. He's contracted, but whether the club will want to retain his services, whether he wants to stay when he's not really getting the starts. With the first choice, really, this season of Saville and Billy Mitch, I don't know. I would like to see him stay. I rate him as a player. Good pass of the ball. Something, hopefully, that we'll focus a little bit more on next season. But obviously, much remains to be seen, dear listeners. Would you keep him? I would. Plymouth. Isn't that an Aerosmith video, listeners? Going down, Mr. Tyler. In the elevator. Loving an elevator. The ball breaks. This is a Plymouth chance on the edge of the penalty area. He's high over the bar. Shot from the D. Little moment there for Plymouth. Coming towards 14 minutes. Yeah, Joe Edwards. I've said it a few times. I'm going to say it again. This will be the last home game of the season. I like the ambition of what we were trying to do, and I liked what he was trying to do. I'm just not sure he had the artist's palette to create the Mona Lisa that he was after. Neil Harris has a much more fundamental and basic understanding of Millwall Football Club, for better or for worse. Better in the sense that he saved us from relegation, so that's much, much better. Worse, a lot of people criticise Neil Harris for his limitation of tactical approach. I take that with a bit of a pinch of salt, listeners, personally. You know, as I said a few times recently, it's much more enjoyable coming down to Denny. It's much better to leave coming to Millwall with a win under your belt. And if that's achieved with basic so-called tactics, then I'm a happy boy. So I'm not sure I completely buy the anti-Harris faction out there. What I do want to see, if we can do, is a Neil Harris-style approach with maybe a little bit higher plane of football, if we can do that, if we can get the players in to do it. You've got to have the squad to handle it. And I'm not sure how realistic it is to aim too high in that direction, but it'd be nice to at least aspire. Maybe some of the youngsters coming in, I don't know. I don't know. I haven't seen enough of them to really say if they're good enough. But these will be some fundamental questions, philosophical questions, if you like, that are going to be raised over the course of the summertime. Hutch warming up. I believe he may well be on his way out. Great servant for the club, Sean Hutchinson. Captain of the club, of course, is Billy Mitch down there. And Jules Honeyman. A one last hurrah, says Neil Harris. Maybe one last dance for one or two players as well, as we've said. Online rumours, however much credence you want to give to this, I don't know, listeners. Zian Fleming is of interest to the San Jose Earthquakes in US Major League Soccer. How real that rumour is, I don't know. Whether it's the invention of a 15-year-old schoolboy sitting in his back bedroom, I don't know. It's an interesting rumour. Burnley were, of course, reputedly interested in Fleming last season. Whether he'll command quite the same numbers that were being banded around willy-nilly last season. With the San Jose Earthquakes, I don't know. It's an interesting move. Sunny California lifestyle may well appeal to Zian. Little ball over the top. There's Longman trying to run through. The goalkeeper's out and collects it on the right side. 18 minutes. I don't know an awful lot about San Jose, really, listeners. The only thing I know is the Bob Bacharach song. Do you know the way to San Jose? A big freeway from LA there, according to the song. That's about as much as I know about San Jose. This is Longman on the right side of the penalty. Nice little bit of wing play there. There's one at the right side of the corner. Nice footwork there, Ryan Longman. 19 minutes, looking at 20. Going to be a right-sided corner. Bacharach and Hal David. I always seem to forget Hal David whenever I quote Bert Bacharach. Don't you, listeners? Easily done, isn't it? Right-sided corner. In it comes. Over the heads of everybody. Jules Saville, the last head it was over the top of. It's now Zian on the left side. Ball floated in. The goalkeeper takes easily enough. Duncan Watmore attacking down the left. Nice power run here. He's got a defender still in charge in front of him. Gets some space. He's done really well to win a corner. Duncan Watmore, listeners. Listen to that applause. Good power run down the left channel. Managed to force a touch on the ball from the number two, and it's a left-sided corner on 20 minutes. Great stuff, Duncan Watmore. Scorer of that late winner against Cardiff, the 3-1 win. All but sealed safety. Spokesperson for Pale Ginger People. Ambassador for the Melanin Challenged. A little bit of argy-bargy on the edge of the penalty. There's Jake and Zian in there. There's Tanganga. It's going to be a deep one. There's a header from Jake. It's straight into the very belly itself of the goalkeeper. No danger. 0-0, 21 minutes. It's coming towards the halfway point of this holiday football vibe. It's actually not been, it's felt reasonably high tempo by Millwall, really. I anticipate it being a little bit kickabout on the beach kind of quality, but it's been pretty good stuff so far. Millwall not really challenged the Plymouth goal, but we've certainly had the brighter feel so far, listeners. Of course, Michael Obafemi, Norton Cuffey will also be leaving us. Another goodbye. Spare a thought for Alan Campbell as well, listeners, who has been on the payroll. Will also be a goodbye. Goodbye, Alan. Maybe we should organise a cake. I might put together a crowdfund for a decent cake. The ball breaks. It's the 15 on the right side of the middle penalty area. Shot into the body of Sarkic. He didn't know much about that, but he blocked it at the near post just by sheer physical presence. It was actually a decent bit of a skill on the ball there from that 15, and a shot on power on target. So Sarkic's done well there to block. That's the best chance of the game so far. 23 minutes maybe. It's going to be a right-sided corner for Plymouth. And it comes again. It's deeper this time. It's floated high. There's a header on wide header. Husky Chocolate still being broadcast on the club's advertising holdings and, of course, on the shirt. No mention in Steve Kavanagh's missive about the state of play with Husky Chocolate. There was talk of legal action being taken against the Swedish drinking chocolate manufacturers. So who knows where that's going to be? Who knows what name will be on our shirts next season? Who knows if it's your last chance to get a drop of Husky? No alcohol consumed on the team coach coming back from Sunderland, listeners. There was no celebratory mood apparently on the coach, according to Neil Harris. Satisfied, of course. Brilliant application, brilliant performances. The point to total results, he says. Congratulations for all that over the last 8 weeks. But as a football club, we did not want to be in this position. So, fighting relegation with 3 games to go. But he says that's football, and that's the cycles of Millwall Football Club. We do seem to go in the eternal Millwall cycle, listeners. So not even a drop of Strongbow or anything on the coach, but still business to be done. I think Harris still sees these 2 games as winnable, and he will want to finish as high up the table as is humanly possible. So no celebrations on that team coach. one of my abiding memories of childhood is my dad loved to watch the Royal, the military show where the two teams of gunners from Plymouth, Portsmouth, Devonport, I think it was, would compete at Earl's Court to move an old school cannon at pace through the series of obstacles and hurdles. We should watch that every year, and there's always this thing about whether it's going to be Plymouth, Devonport or Portsmouth, I think it was, that might win it. I think it was the Remembrance show, or whatever you want to call it, at the, was it the Royal Albert Hall, maybe? Or was it Earl's Court? I can't remember now. It's a long, long time since I've seen it, but it was something to see. You could imagine blokes losing fingers left, right and centre in the training for moving these huge lumps of metal over obstacles and to disassemble, move them a pace the length of the stadium and then reassemble them. Ball's into the box, it's bouncing around whilst I waffle about my nostalgic TV viewing of youth. Nice little move by there by the 15. He's trying to find the man on the right, but straight into Duncan Watmore, unfortunately for them. Casper de Noor, ball on the break, little ball forwards. This is Tom Bradshaw, he's going to be offside. Ball in from Watmore, nice ball forwards. This is de Noor, he's just going to run out of pace there, I think, listeners. No, he's inside, he's found Duncan Watmore. Ball still in play. Longman, what will he do? Will he fancy having a go? No, ball out wide left. This is Danny Mack now, listeners. We're on 34, going towards 35 minutes. In comes a cross from Jules Saville. That's over the head of... This is Ryan Leonard, stinging shot low. Goalkeeper down low, takes it well, but you can hear the crowd baying for a Ryan Leonard goal there, listeners. You know what they want. The post on X this morning that I was looking at made me laugh. I think it was Millwall Dave. I could be wrong, but apologies if it's not Millwall Dave. Saying words to the effect of how many times this season he's looked forward to the end of the season. I would put myself in this category, Dave. We look forward to the end of the season and now it's upon us. You're going to miss it. That's the irony of football. It's European Championships, of course, this summertime, so not entirely football-free. It's not quite the same as coming down here, is it, listeners? A great meme in my Instagram inbox today. I won't disclose the sender. I think it was Harvey Price, but anyway, it's a large, corpulent individual falling fast asleep with a Katie Price-type voice behind him, berating him for falling asleep. But it was the punchline was that this is the effect of watching Gareth Southgate's England. So, made me laugh. Probably doesn't travel so well in the describing, but made me giggle. Just given away there by Tom Bradshaw. This is Plymouth on the break now. Great tackle back there by Ryan Leonard. Listen to that applause. A lot of effort went into that tackle back there, listeners, and did well to retrieve the ball from the player as he was pressing dangerously into the penalty area there. Millwall has always been a good fit for me, said Neil Harris, speaking to the South London Press. A lot has been asked and written about when I left and why I left. Well, all I can say is in good faith and for the right reasons at the time. That was 2019, of course. This is a ball in from the left side. There's a 23 at the near post. It's going to be escorted out for... Oh, a free kick given against a touch on Jaffa Tanganga. So, yeah, the reasons why I've come back, says Neil, are clear. And how long I've come back for, this is an intriguing bit that I read. He's obviously on an 18-month contract, which covers us for this season now and next season. And he repeatedly mentions how long I've come back for. It's defined, he says. So he's only going to be here, if that's his way of thinking, I believe, for next year. I'm really comfortable with it and really comfortable working with Jimmy Berylson, who I've known a long time. We've always had a very trusting relationship. So what I make of that is he's here for next season and then maybe looking at some kind of succession planning. Would Millwall be able to do that, listeners? We've never been very good at that kind of thing, have we? But maybe that's what the plan is. This is Plymouth on the right side, pressing forwards. We're on 45 minutes nearly. Crossing from the right, gone straight into goal kick, into not touch, is it? It's gone with the byline. Gone behind the byline, goal kick. There's a half-time whistle, 0-0. Okay, a half of football, obviously not compulsive given the circumstances. I'd imagine that Plymouth would be happier of the two teams to be at 0-0 at half-time. They're desperate for points and well, hopefully for them, more than 1 point, but certainly from the Millwall perspective, we've been pretty good, been pretty bright. Nothing really threatening in front of goal, but it's very, very acceptable. Acceptable, I think that's the word I'm going to go to half-time with. Millwall 0, Plymouth Argyle 0.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Achtung, Mehlball.
Teams are out there, listeners. Second half. Millwall will be attacking the Colblow Lane end in the second half, as per the teachings and dictums and indeed writings of the Venerable Bede, writing that Anglo-Saxon chronicle at Jarrow Monastery in the 9th century. As you can tell, the game is underway. Second half. A relaxed first half. I think there's a little ball through. There's Duncan Watmore offside, as it turned out. Goalkeeper bats it away, but offside. Yeah, a relaxed first half, I would say, dear listeners. End of term vibes for me, including Plymouth, which intrigues me because they're desperate for points. I couldn't actually get the current scores on my phone at half-time. The 3G was under a bit of stress and strain, but they're desperate for points, and they didn't look like it. So, club chief exec Steve Cavanagh penned a end-of-season column for the main website, dear listeners. I had a look through it. Main points, he thanks the fans and those responsible in the club's marketing team. Ball out wide left. This is too far for Watmore. Yeah, thanks everyone involved, the fans and the marketing team, for the incredible growth in home attendances. We're averaging 16,500, as I said last week. That's the highest average home attendance since the early 1950s. Apparently the club shop retail revenues are up. He asks everyone to stay off the pitch at the end of the game. I don't know if that will be meticulously kept to. There's going to be a prayer of the season presentation, almost certainly to Ryan Leonard, after the game today. Why after the game? I don't know. Ball throughs is Tom Bradshaw. It falls to, just taken away from Ryan Long the last there. Bradshaw was on the run there, but it was just taken off his toe at the last. 51 minutes. New ticketing partner. Apparently the club are having to change their ticket company, which is going to do away with the idea, for the moment at least, of having a barcode season ticket. Many, many places now do tickets as barcodes on your phone whenever you go anywhere. Now it's very, very common, but the change in ticket partners is going to mean that next season at least it's going to be the old traditional credit card style arrangement. Thanks fans for their support. Thanks to the Barrelson family for their financial support. As the ball breaks here, that's a great tackle there by Duncan Watmore. Referee gives a free kick. They got the ball there. I don't understand that decision. It's a free kick for Plymouth about halfway inside the middle half. We're on 52 minutes. Yeah, the Barrelsons put £17 million, according to Kieran Maguire of the Price of Football podcast, £17 million into Millwall in 22-23, and £13 million the year before in 21-22. So that's what you call proper support, isn't it, listeners? So yeah, huge thank you to the Berylson family for their continued support, without which we'd be languishing League One, I would suggest to your listeners. Anyway, this is a free kick for Plymouth. Just right of centre, halfway inside the middle half. He's going to float it forward. It's onto the head of Jeff Tanganga. Flicks it away. It's going to be Ryan Leonard to clear it. The other main point that I picked up on in the Kavanagh piece was that there's going to be an exciting news about the land development around the Den, which presumably means, you know, building work, presumably on the car park. An announcement will follow over the summer months, I'd guess. Well, breaks. Duncan Watmore on a run forward now in space. Just chips it. Just the wrong side of Tom Bradshaw. Unlucky there, listeners. Just the wrong side where Bradshaw was making that run. Development around the Den, yeah, I mean, it's the way of the city now. Everywhere you look across this once glorious capital city, you see endless numbers of same blocks of flats and the residential units with retail units below them. You see them everywhere, listeners. I'm going to guess it's going to be something very similar to that on our car park, I'd imagine. Personally, I get the economics of it, but on an emotional level, it wouldn't bother me if it never happened. But don't put money in the bank, clearly. One interesting point about the club shop and the tie-up with Fanatics. Revenue's clearly up. And I'm going to guess that's also part and parcel to the increased European sales we're seeing all around the Den. Some of the recent cut price deals in the club shop proving very attractive. Loads and loads of shirts being sold last time I was here. Danny Mack in the middle of a tussle. Free kick Millwall. At halfway inside our own half. So, yeah, one will lead into the other, won't it, listeners? You know, the more tourist bums on seats here, the more they'll want to buy the memorabilia. It's a winning combination. So, well done, Millwall, on that front. I actually ordered for my nephew a shirt from the website, and the service was pretty good, got to be honest. The white away shirt for him. He doesn't know it, but he's a Millwall fan. Ball in from Ryan Leonard on the right side. That's flashed across the Plymouth goal there. No danger there. 10 minutes in the second half, 55 minutes. It's nice not to be involved in a relegation tussle, listeners. And break for Plymouth. Great tackle, Brian Leonard. Player of the season level tackle in there. Man was through on goal. He's curled round the back and got the ball inside the penalty area and cleared the situation. Brian Leonard, dear listeners. You could help on a roar of the crowd how much they approved of that. Dunor on the right, balls into the box. Oh, back heel at the near post. Tom Bradshaw cleared by the goalkeeper. Right side corner. 14 minutes. 59 minutes. Great tackle. That was a great tackle, and Danny Mack is penalised by this slag of a referee. He got the ball there clearly, listeners. Take it from me, I'm a totally unbiased, neutral voice on that. Dunor on the right side now. Can he get the cross in? He's got a near post ball. That's flicked from Duncan Watmore just over the bar. Nice move. Unlucky there, Duncan Watmore. 66 minutes. Comes towards halfway through the second half. This is a substitution. Watmore's coming out. Ramon Essay's going to come in, listeners. Tom Bradshaw's coming out as well. Nisbet coming in. Nisbet for Bradshaw. Looks like it's SA for Watmore. 74 minutes. It's a right-sided corner for Plymouth. 22 trying to G their fans along. Mill just need to stay switched on here. They've done really well so far. It's been a much more attacking, open game in the second half. Obviously, we don't have the edge that we would normally bring to a game like this, but it's been reasonable entertainment, in my opinion. Ball slammed wide there. It's It's come off a Millwall defend from the 17. It's going to be a left-sided corner. But for 1 minute, he'd slam it into the net. Left-sided corner for Plymouth. 75 minutes, I'd say. Deep one. Put behind by Zien for a right-sided corner. Bit of Plymouth pressure. In it comes. It's headed over at some power and pace. 17 can't believe himself. Put it high over the bar. Long throw in on the left side from Ryan Leonard. We're on 84 minutes maybe. Found its way back out to Leonard on the right. Millwall with some numbers. This is Tanganga now operating on a wide right long. This is ball in from Ryan Leonard. Header over the top of the goalkeeper. 1-0 Millwall. That was Jake Cooper, dear listeners. Looping kind of header over the top of the goalkeeper. Crossing from the right. It took an age to land in there, but landing there it did, dear listeners. 1-0 Millwall. Almost in slow motion. Let's have a watch of the ball here. It's a bit of pressure on the right side. Ball in from Ryan Leonard, and Jake Cooper meets it, well, leftwards, on the left side part of the penalty area, and the ball loops it in slow motion into the net. 1-0. 84 minutes. Zien coming out. Looks like Denor coming out. Who's this coming in? Billy Mitchell, George Honeyman. Calls around me to bring Barton. I don't think we'll see it. Destined to remain eternal question, who the wanker in the green is, listeners. So the updated table then has Plymouth now just 1 point above trouble. 48 points above them at the moment. Sheffield Wednesday in 50. Plymouth 21st on 48. Then the bottom three will be Birmingham, Huddersfield, Rotherham, far gone. But Birmingham on 47 points. So it's still tight enough at the bottom. Super Neil Harris. That is some track record since he's returned. Millwall now on 56 points in 16th position, dear listeners. On goal difference below Watford and Sunderland, also on 56. So that's the measure of the achievement from Harris and this squad since he's returned. There it is, full time. Millwall win it 1-0. That late winner from Jake Cooper, sealing the deal. Two kids run on the pitch. Bit of booing. Never understood grown men that run on the pitch, listeners. There's someone running with a sign there. Can I have your shirt? And someone with a flare out there. What the fuck is that? We all don't do flares, listeners. There we are. So anyway, no rocking over the world because they're on the pitch, but there we are. Millwall win it 1-0, dear listeners. And that takes us to 56 points, 16th position as I finish this recording. Thank you for listening. We'll be back after these messages, hopefully with Matt Webb.
Achtung, Millwall.
Hello, dear listeners. Big welcome on the show now to discuss this afternoon's end of term, last day at school vibe at the Den. It's Matt Webb. How you doing, Matt?
Well, I did make sure it was a non-uniform day today, Nick, but very well, thank you.
1-0 win. We joked at half-time, Matt, we weren't going to have much to talk about. I'm not sure we really do, in all honesty, listeners. It was an okay performance. It was a very relaxed afternoon at the Den. I was quite surprised that Plymouth weren't more intense. I don't know if you were, Matt.
Well, to be fair, Nick, I think today was all about Plymouth, if I was honest with you. I mean, they were the ones who were, in all fairness, need a result out of today's game. Preferably said we're on the beach, so to speak, and we're just playing for placements. And it looked like today that it was the other way around. Plymouth were awful. let's not. I mean, one shot on goal throughout the whole game for a team that are battling to stay in this league wasn't good enough. And I thought Millwall didn't get out of second gear, if I'm really honest with you. And, you know, if we really did put more pressure on them, I think it could have been a lot more. But today was, as you say, it was the end of season sort of celebrations, if you want to call that. Vibe, let's just put it like that.
Time for goodbyes. It's kind of emotional. I went before the end. I got a little bit frustrated with the pitch invasion, so I didn't stick around for the end of season awards. But I've seen video clips of Bart, for example, Matt, making his speech to the, you know, it's kind of touching. And I think there were a few goodbyes out there this afternoon. Obviously, the lone players will go back. We didn't see Michael Obafemi today, but certainly the likes of Jeff Tanganga. Ryan Longman is a lone player, although he does seem to be, you know, by common demand, one for that would seem to be very much at the high point of Mill's list. But also the likes of you know, Barb we've mentioned, but also Sean Hutchinson. I'm going to guess we probably won't see him again taking the field for Mill. So there was a slight kind of bittersweet element to it. I don't know if you felt that as well. I mean, the game was nondescript. I'm not sure we can really do any great justice to that, but it was the overwhelming feeling for me out today, Matt, was that kind of a cycle coming to a close almost.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, I mean, it was nice to see Sean Ashton come on with a minute or two left of the game to get a nice reception. I was hoping like maybe Bart would have at least got 1 minute just to come onto the pitch, and you know, because the game was, well, as you say, was dead, even though it was only 1-0. There was no threat, but I'm really sad. I mean, I stayed around, and you're right. I mean, the pitch invasion is silly. I mean, you know,
it's ritual.
We all know it's a ritual thing. But I think I don't mind it if you're like under the age of 12 doing it. once you can like get a job and start working right through life, and you're running on a pitch, I think you need to have a little chat with yourself. Let's be honest with you, but but no, I mean, it was nice. It was a nice speech from Bart. He's up there. He is up there with. I mean, I've been going to Mill since late 80s. I was a bit too late in my time seeing the best of Brian Horn to extend. Mm. But if I had Bart up there, I'd have him up there with the likes of your Keller, your Denzels, and your Fordies as one of the best goalkeepers Millwall have had. And there's one man to thank, really, and that is Frank Fielding. Because if he didn't get injured in that first game, we never know how Bart would have been. So, you know, thank you, Frank Fielding, from the bottom of my heart.
That's a name I'd forgotten, actually. Yeah, yeah. You are right. That's football, yeah, I suppose. It turns on very small points, doesn't it? And careers can start from very unlikely beginnings. I mean, Bart was an established goalkeeper. He'd been at, I think I read Southampton and certainly Ipswich. And I think he'd been on, in his time, been on the fringes of the Polish national team. So, you know, he's an established player. He's come to us quite late in his career comparatively, but very much taken to the hearts of Millwall fans. That was evident in that, you know, the video clip that I saw, but you would have seen it live. But very much beloved at the Den. It's always interesting who we take in into our hearts and who slightly gets the cold shoulder slightly. But Bart was very much in the Millwall collective, you know, affections, I thought.
Yeah, and also he did win Player of the Year at Ipswich, I think, twice. Maybe one or even twice. Yeah. So, you know, he came with a good CV, let's just put it like that. But you know, I know as well, goalkeepers evolve later than your outfield players. So, I remember a few years ago, we had like Mark Crosley on loan, and he was at the end of his career, and he was still a really good goalkeeper. And I'll say, they do tend to, like I say, they're like fine wine goalkeepers. They do get better with age, if I'm honest with you. But it does come to a point where, you know, when modern football is changing, like, i.e. the playing out the back, etc., then the age gap of peakness of goalkeepers is getting younger. And I think Bart was sort of like past the curve on that. And on the flip side, I think that's where you're going to see the likes of Matty Sarkic improve himself, I think, personally, as he gets older as well. So, you know, it's one in one where one door closes, another door opens with Millwall, and hopefully we've got, as I say, another array of good goalkeepers coming through. But no, he's definitely, I'm going to miss him. I mean, I'll tell you a funny story, Nick. He actually gave my boy a shirt, Cardiff away, right, when we lost 3-1, yeah, you know, and like we were sitting at the front, you know, pissed down rain. All the other, like, we lost 3-1 or 3-0. I couldn't remember, to be fair, but we were awful. But he came across, threw his shirt to my boy, and, you know, it's hanging up in his wall. And, you know, to be fair, he was a bit disappointed, really, to see him go. But, you know, everything comes to an end, really, at some point.
It does, football especially. So, I mean, you know, the main man, the name of the afternoon is obviously Ryan Leonard. I actually thought that he was, I believe Kasper De Noor got man of the match. I like Kasper. I'm not sure that he was man of the match for me today. It wasn't an intense contest, listeners. So, you know, we won't get too hung up on it. But I thought Ryan Leonard was both man of the match today and clearly, by some distance, I understand, player of the season. A real servant for our club. I mean, he's also well thought of at his previous club at Southend. You know, whenever you, if you should ever find yourself looking at Southend comment, listeners, he's always well spoken of there. And you can see why. 100% player. And deserved player of the season for me, mate.
Oh, 100%. I mean, to be fair, again, I was quite surprised when I saw Kasper's name come up, but like, he didn't have a good game. He didn't have a bad game, so to speak. But okay, I mean, yeah. I thought Tanganga again was immense today. Yeah. I mean, it just proves that he's going to be a player at the bottom end of the Premier League next season, regardless who he's going to be playing for. But
he's that good. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, but I mean, to be fair, Ryan, absolutely deserves it, and you know, he's just your man, like your go-to guy. If you know, who would you want in the trenches? And you have Ryan Leonard there, you know, whether he be right back, centre-back, centre-midfielder. Christ, even if you had to say, look, do a stint on right wing, you'd probably want him there. But no, absolutely fully deserved. Not just player of the year, but obviously I think he was Junior Lions player of the year as well.
Was he?
Nick. So, you know, he got a double gong on that one. So, you know, what we all love is an injury-free Ryan Leonard, and I think that would really, I mean, you know, that speaks volumes to the man. But he's done a lot this season compared to last couple of seasons where his appearances have been more. So hopefully there's a routine, like a training routine for him that fits him and fits his condition of his body, and that's going to make him continue being a good player as he is, or a very good player.
100%. It's an amazing tackle. He seems to do amazing tackles in tight situations to order, Ryan Leonard. But there was a move. Plymouth didn't make many moves for it. It was a better second half. They were coming out a little bit more, as they had to in the second half. But there was an amazing tackle from behind, getting the ball, not conceding the penalty. Top level player. I mean, that was that moment lifted, you know, the block, the stand out of their seats. It was wonderful to see. So no, I think Ryan Leonard's a deserved player of the season. George Samuel came second, apparently. I wanted to mention, if I may, I don't disagree with George Samuel, and I believe it was George Honeyman in third place. Both good calls. I like him. I thought Danny McNamara deserved a bit of a mention from this season. It's been a difficult season, but he's been playing out of position, really, you know, over a particularly crucial period. You know, the return of Neil Harris has been probably a turning point, Matt, over the course of the season. But to be asked to play out of position in a crucial period like that and perform so well, I think Danny Mack deserves a bit of a mention in dispatches. If, you know, he clearly didn't make the top three, but I'd like to mention him. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he's put a foot wrong since Harris has come back, really, to be honest with you, Nick. As I said, he's a makeshift left back, and I know some of your contributors say about him being sort of like a modern day Ian Dawes, which again, that was probably at the start of my time of going to Millwall, and I do remember Dawsey quite, like, from obviously watching him live and from the season videos we used to get. I remember him really well, and I think he deserves an admirable mention. And if you've got to think of it from a logical perspective, yes, Joe Bryan's out with a burnt about damage, an injury, so to say. I think it was a mouth injury. And you think he's a natural left back, as well as Murray Wallace. You know, he's a right back playing at a left back, keeping two left backs out of the starting 11. So he's got to be doing something well, really. And I think he's definitely enjoyed having Harris back, definitely, and you know, doing the job that he is intended to do, which is to be a fullback. Nothing else. Don't worry about being an outplaying attacking wing back, or you know, a playmaker, right centre half, or anything like that. Just be a fullback. Do the job. Do it well, and then the rewards will come. And you're right. He hasn't put a foot wrong, really. To be brutally honest with you, and you know, yeah, it's a bit unfortunate that he didn't get in with a shout with the top three, let's just put it like that.
Absolutely. One on online wit, and I had to, it made me laugh. I probably shouldn't laugh, but reckon that Joe Bryan injured his mouth sipping a very hot scalding artisan coffee in some trendy shop somewhere. It was a bit hot, so it made me laugh in a moment, man.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
That's the kind of thing that gets my twisted humour sometimes. I mean, starting 11, Sarkic, Leonard, Tanganga, we mentioned. Cooper, I thought, did well. He scored the goal, and I thought that goal was going to go into like a slow motion time slip almost. It seemed to take forever to loop over the goalkeeper, but he calls it well, Jake. And
no, he's like London buses, isn't it, with Cooper? You know, wait all this time for one goal and two come along in a quick succession. So, it was a good goal. As I said, it was a proper looping effort, and you know, it looked like a very slow motion goal, really, so to speak. But again, it's a case of, if you have him marked 1v1, he will win. And yeah, I think, you know, I don't think Plymouth done much justice of having him one-on-one marking when you're putting balls in the box. I mean, to be fair, I was waiting to see whether, I mean, I personally thought, Nick, I don't know about you, he had 0-0 written all over today's game, to be fair.
And, it seemed to be heading that way, didn't it?
Oh, yeah. Just nothing was coming up. And then, obviously, a little bit of magic. And I think, was it Longman who put the cross in again? So another assist for him. I like him.
If we can sign him, I'd imagine he'd be on Neil's list, as we've said already. I'd certainly be happy to see him come in. He's looked increasingly strong, Matt, and you know, dangerous on that kind of winger, a bit of width. It's so refreshing to have a player that's able to pull wide and to get a decent cross in. So if we can sign him, all well and good. I mean, the other loanees, I think, probably going to be a little bit out of our price range. You've mentioned Tanganga already. I'd imagine him to be a Premier League player. And I'd imagine Michael Obafemi probably sees himself in the same bracket. So I doubt we'll see them back next season, unless there's an influx of money from somewhere. I'm just looking at a post from the club's official feed, Matt. The Millwall's home form since the return of Neil Harris, which, incidentally, for me, Matt, I think the return of Neil Harris has been the turning point of the season. But look at this form here. I mean, 1-0 win versus Watford, 1-0 win versus Birmingham, 1-0 draw v West Brom, but then 1-0 win Leicester City, one of the standout results of the season, 3-1 win over Cardiff, and now 1-0, very different atmosphere today versus Plymouth, but a win nevertheless. The fortress den idea again, how he does it, I don't know, but it evaded Gary Rowett largely, that sense of fortress then. We were probably a better team away from home under Rowett. And like so much, unfortunately, just didn't go right for Joe Edwards. But Neil Harris, he's got the magic elixir, Matt. And you can't argue with those results. Whatever people might think of the style, I don't think you can argue with the results.
No, I mean, I was probably with a lot of other people. I had my severe reservations when he returned. And to be fair, the stats don't lie, the results don't lie. The fact that, you know, our home form has been second to none since his return. However, again, I also think all he needs to do is try and convert basically the hybrid of the Neil Harris home form and the Gary Rowett away form, and we'll have the perfect season. Because, like I said, I think our away form hasn't been great, and I'm going to take Sunderland out of the equation here, because I feel like Sunderland was a bit of a like a dead rubber, so to speak. I mean, it was all for us to get a result.
Yeah,
and I think you need to really look at the games against like your Huddersfields and Rotherhams, even though we didn't get the results. And that's where you've got to judge your away performances and your away results is them games, because they mean something. And, you know, it's a horrible situation. I'll never sort of like judge a manager's season in the first month of August or in the last sort of three or four games if you've got something or nothing to play for. That's not where you judge a manager. You judge a manager over a period of a season. And as much as the home form is great, like, that's great. That means we've got a potential 69 points to aim for next season. Where we, like, the work is, how can we convert the away form? And, you know, as I said, if we can swerve, if we forget about the Sunderland result for the moment and think, well, before that, it was only 4 points from five away games, I think it was, or something of that magnitude. Where, you know, can we push on with that sort of away form, or do we need to really find a way of stabilizing our away form and get away? And you know what, if Harris can do it, then great, that's fantastic. And hopefully he will get a good summer out of players. I mean, not only are the loanies going, or the contract players going up there, so there's going to be a few sales, or maybe just a couple of sales really, to balance the books. And then it's whether Millwall have got that ambition, and that's the big word, Nick, it's ambition to thrive for the top six. Because I don't know about you or anyone, any of the listeners, it does grate me a little bit when I think we're probably one of three clubs, maybe even four, that have not actually got to the top table in this league. And, you know, if Luton can have one season in the Premier League, Christ's sake, well, can we have a go, please?
We'll set up one way if we can.
Absolutely. Yeah, and, you know, and it, and exactly right. And the fact that, like I say, there's more clubs now that are having a go and getting there, albeit that they're not staying there for one or two seasons.
It
painstakingly, it's always in my thoughts. I think, Christ, what would happen if we did it? And, you know, and it's down to like your Kavanagh and Aldo, and down to instead Harris now, to say, right, well, we need to get the players now, or we need to have a team or a squad that's going to challenge that top six, you know, and really give it a go.
It's going to be some task. I'm just reading here on X, Twitter, and the guy Billy1885 says he's going to be amazed to see who we can get in to replace Obafemi. Brooke Norton Cuffey, we haven't mentioned him yet, and Tanganga, because, you know, those are three Premier League quality players there that we've had on loan, and we've done well to achieve that. Maybe we can do something similar next season with some equally top-class players. But it's going to be interesting to see who we get, because those are three serious talents there, actually. And this is going to be the summer ahead. It's going to have to be a busy one, I think, Matt.
I think there's going to be a couple of sacrificial lambs, Nick, for starters. And I think, you know, as much as we don't know what's going on in the boardroom, Fleming's made no sort of hidden desires to go push on to bigger things, which, you know, fair enough. He's a player with ambition. You know, good luck to him. I don't think he's the only one. I think there might be a couple of other players. I'd even put, if you want my honest opinion, I'd even put Denor maybe in that.
I would imagine Denor must see himself as, if he wants to look upwards. And you know, we saw today, it wasn't a competitive game, listeners. So no. let's put that caveat in there, Matt. But you could see some of the passing of Casper Denor. He's got vision, and he played a couple of balls, one to Fleming, into space for him to run onto, and you can see that the boy has got quality.
I agree.
We're probably going to have to sell some to gain some. I suppose the style is going to be set by Neil Harris, what style of play he wants. I'm just interested. There's a post by Jamie Manners. He says, say what you like about Neil Harris, but he's got me enjoying the home games again, Matt. And I hadn't been enjoying Mill for some time. I would say the same, Jamie. It stopped being fun when Rowett was getting sell-out crowds week after week, and a roaring den seemed to inhibit the players and make them play for worse. I mean, the Neil Harris recipe, the Neil Harris magic, is to be able to latch on to that full house. We had a good atmosphere there today, Matt. It was quite decent, given the fact it was barely a friendly kind of you know, approach in a sense from our side. But I thought the atmosphere was pretty good. But to be able to latch onto that and motivate it and use it seems to be a thing that Neil Harris understands in a way that others haven't been able to.
No, I agree. It was a good atmosphere. It was not, the fans were loud and really passionate. And they were loved giving it to the Plymouth fans, even though I don't think Plymouth is really much of a threat. But that's what you get in block. That's what you get in block one and block two, isn't it? Really, let's be honest with you. But you're right. I mean, Gary Rowett used to have sellouts, and you could hear a pin drop. Really,
He didn't latch on to the energy, did he? Somehow.
Yeah, and with Joe Edwards, his football was good, but unfortunately, just was not structured right. And you know, as I said, we. There was always gaps and leaks and defeat, and then say came defeats, and that was I see where he wanted to go with the club, but just not right, not at the right time. So, the Den is the fortress. It is a vibrant place to be. It should be. It's right in the heart. For starters, right in the heart of bloody London. So it should be vibrant. You know, we're not out in the sticks.
No.
You know, we should be attracting fans across the board. Albeit, yes, again, it's the last game of the season attitude of we'll bring your family down and little Johnny can run on to the pitch at the end. See if he can grab a shirt. But,
and Big Johnny.
But you know, it's all the theatricals, isn't it, of the last game of the season get. But let's see if they do that on a cold Tuesday night when we're at home to someone like, I don't know, Portsmouth or whatever, and see if that happens. But it's good to see the atmosphere down then. And as again, with the fitting tribute again to JB, that flag opposite us was absolutely second to none, mate. And you know, fair play to you.
Well done.
Yes,
well done.
Definitely. Yeah. And you know what? It was all about. I wouldn't say it's called a celebratory season because we've got nothing to celebrate. Let's just be honest. But it's a season to say, you know what? It's been one hell of a rocky road, and you know, I actually called it that it'd be a state of transition this year, but I didn't realize it was going to be this much of a transitional period. But do you know what? I think everyone is still in a bit of an edge of where the club is going to go though come summertime, and yes, and see what the club actually does in the summer. What sort of investment are we going to get? What sort of ins and outs are we going to get? Who's going to step up to the plate? You know, are we going to see the boys that have been out on loan? I mean, I'm absolutely certain that we'll see Mitchell next year, Alex Mitchell. That is, I think we'll see him step into the shoes of Hutchinson. Shoes, I think, to be fair. But it's the others out there. And also, who do we get in as well? Because, as I said, we've had a few good old loanies come in. And, you know, they're all going to go off to their respective clubs and do other things. I mean, it'd be great if they'd all said, look, I've had such a great time at Millwall. I'm coming back. Don't worry about the wages. We'll be fine. But
that,
you know, that's your football manager cheating mode. That one kicking in, isn't it? Really, it's a good time now just to sit and reflect for a couple of weeks at least. Let everyone just wind down, and then let's go again, and let's see where Cav Aldo Harris wants to be with Millwall Football Club this time next year, and let's just pray to God we're not in a situation like we've had this season.
Well said, mate. I'm at the stage now where I'm glad the football season's finished, but I'm going to miss it probably next week sometime. We've got one more game, but you know what I mean. I think it doesn't take long for you to start missing it again. So looking forward already to a good summertime, then all back in August.
We've got the act on Euros, haven't we, Nick? That's the new one.
I'll see if I can summon up some energy for that. We'll see. Matt Webb.
Okay, get Bobby T to lead that one. Yeah, Bobby T can lead that one, can't he?
Mr. Matt, international man of mystery. Matt, big thank you for joining me tonight, mate. Saturday night, I really appreciate it. And thank you to everyone who's contributed to the show so far. Probably going to do, we've got the voicemail show yet to go, so that'll be probably Monday when that comes out. But for now, Matt Webb, big thank you, mate. Thanks for joining me. Appreciate it.
Yeah, cheers, Nick. And thanks for everyone that's been part of this season with Axon as well. It's been fun. And yes, long may it continue.
Well, we'll be back in the summertime, that's in the new season, that's for sure. So till then, it's going to be goodbye from Matt and arrivederci Millwall from myself. Bye for now.
Take care.
Achtung, Millwall.
Just a late postscript as before we close the show, dear listeners. Two things, really. I wanted to mention the passing this week of a famous player, more for Sunderland than he did start his career at Millwall. That's Charlie Hurley, who passed away this week. He played for the Lions 1953 to 58, 110 games for us, two goals. He was a centre-half of some repute and some standing. He would move on from the Lions to Sunderland, where he would achieve almost a cult status. I think they call him the King up there. And also he managed at Reading during the 70s. Irish Republic centre-half, began his career as an apprentice toolmaker at Ford's in Dagenham. How about that? And encouraged to sign for Millwall by scout Bill Voysey, war hero Bill Voysey, following trials at West Ham and Arsenal. But Charlie Hurley passed away this week, 1936 to 2024. So rest in peace, Charlie, and our condolences go out to his friends and family. I also wanted just to give a quick shout out, if I may, to the Lionesses. They're staging a game between Millwall Lionesses and the Fulham women's side at the Den tomorrow evening, 6 o'clock. Strange kickoff time, but any support will be appreciated. Been asked to give a shout out to the game, so if you are in the area, fancy watching a bit more football at the Den. Ladies are playing tomorrow, Sunday 28th of April. It's a 6 o'clock kickoff at the Den. I think it just costs you a fiver to get in there. So if you're near the area and fancy a bit of football tomorrow evening, Millwall Lionesses versus Fulham. That's the end of the show. I want to say a big thank you to Matt for taking time out of his Saturday evening to join me and talk about what was, in truth, it was an okay game, but it wasn't much substance to it. But there we are. Hopefully we'll be back on Monday with a voicemail show for you, dear listeners. But until next edition of Achtung Millwall, which will be now probably Monday, maybe one next weekend as well, from me, Nick Hart, signing out. Arrivederci Millwall. Bye for now.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.